Friday. Lockhart, Jerry Ohlendorf, Performing Arts Center. Yeah, glad to have you. You guys on Lockhart, you heard from Pastor Randy Phillips last week. How awesome was that? And today, you're back to me. Okay, so here we go. Every year at Promised Land, we love to bring a special offering in December. December is a time of giving. It's a time of generosity, season of generosity. So we take a special offering in December that goes to missions. It goes outside of the doors of this church to reach the people in our area here in San Marcos and Lockhart in this region of Central Texas through several different partners. Central Texas Life Care is one of them, Austin Disaster Relief Network. There's an education fund in Lockhart that we support. So we do that, but we also do international missions as well. So we reach out to our partners in Guatemala and Mexico and in India. And this year we have a brand new one in Burma that we're going to be letting you know more about. So bring something special in December. Plan on it. Pray about it. Make it big. Make it significant. And let's keep making a difference all over the world, making a difference in the kingdom. Amen. So today I want to continue this message series that we have called The Bible Never Said That. The Bible never said that. Did you know that the Bible never said that Adam and Eve ate a forbidden apple? It says that they ate a forbidden fruit. But for some reason, the poor apple has been tainted. I just want to release you today. Eat all the apples you want to eat. It was not an apple. It was not an apple. It was not a forbidden apple. Eat apples. You probably need to eat more apples in your life, more fruit in your life. Did you know that the Bible does not say, "This too shall pass"? It sounds like the Bible. Actually, it sounds more like Gandalf than God. For those of you that are Lord of the Rings fans, this too shall pass. It's not in the Bible. And here's a Christmas one for you. This one's going to blow your mind. You ready for this? The Bible never said that there were three wise men. I don't know about you and Lockhart, but San Marcos is perplexed right now. It says that there were wise men. Don't get too concerned. But it never says that there was three of them. If this series doesn't do anything else, I hope it makes you read the Bible more. Like, wait a minute. I know it's in there. You're going to be digging through it and trying to find three. You're not going to find three wise men. The reason why people say that there's three is because there were three gifts. What were they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we just came up with this idea that there was one gift per wise men. But it could have been, they could have been 20 wise men. There could have been two wise men, but we know that there were men. We still know that there were three. Y'all have heard me speak, both campuses, that God's not going to give you more than you can handle. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. If you missed that, go back and get it on the internet. But I'm in this series. We're in this series because it's super important that we know what the Bible actually says and we don't create some sort of false idea of who God is or who we are based on anything other than the Bible, or us taking scriptures and twisting them into what we want them to say, or what would make us feel happy, what would make us feel more secure, whatever. So today I'm going to take one that's sort of similar to that last one, and I'm gonna drop it on you. Y'all ready? Here it is. The Bible never said that God wants you happy. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? That sounds heavy. Does that mean he doesn't care? Does that mean he doesn't like us? It sounds so good to say God wants you happy and God's going to do things in your life to make you happy. And in Psalm 97, it says, may all who are godly be happy. So we can take that passage, may all who are godly be happy. And this is what happens. We take a scripture like that, and that's not all of it. That's just a portion of the scripture. Take part of it. And then we mix and mingle it up with our culture. And we mix and mingle it up with our human thinking. And we turn it into something that the Bible doesn't say at all. What are you talking about, Pastor? Let me tell you. It goes like this. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for a song? Y'all going to sing along with me? Clap your hands if you feel like a room without a roof. Everybody's joining with me. Clap along if you feel like happiness is a truth. Because I'm... Have y'all ever seen this movie called Despicable... Pharaoh, come on. I'm happy. I'm happy. There's so many lyrics in that song. Clap your hands. It's just so compelling. You want to dance. You want to move. I don't do it justice. Trust me, I understand. Happiness. It says this. Clap your hands if happiness is a truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. But look at this. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Happiness. And with this very intoxicating, happy song, which I listen to and I love, it's a very catchy song, Pharaoh begins to create the theology of happiness. And this is the theology of happiness right here. Number one, whatever makes me happy must be right. And whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. That's what the theology of happiness is. And so we have shaped our thought around if it makes me happy, it must be good. If it doesn't make me happy, it must be wrong. Sheryl Crow, for those of you that are older, would have said it like this. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. And then the next line is, if it makes you happy, then why the are you so sad? I edited out a little word there for you, so you didn't hear that word. That word, that line's so telling. If it makes you happy, then why are you so sad? And that's the truth, really. That's what we start. If we live our life that happiness is this main priority, that God wants us happy, then we must strive for happiness, and whatever makes us happy is good. And if it doesn't make us happy, then God must not want us to participate in it. The second part is discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconvenience can't be God's will if this we're living according to this happiness theology. Discomfort, delay, risk, suffering. If you're a believer, if you love God, you serve God, you're going to experience some of these things in the second line there. You're going to have some discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, and all that. And if you're living according to this principle that God just wants to make you happy, then if you experience those things, you think that God's not powerful. God doesn't like me. I'm out of God's will. The third one is this. Without knowing it, we can begin to worship the false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. This is nothing to do with Lockhart, but it is warm in here to me. Can someone turn just a little bit of air on? It is, I see Jacinta fanning herself. So we're, God said if two or three agree in one place. So if life is only about me being happy, then this means God exists to serve me. This message is good because y'all are so quiet and y'all are just like, what is he saying? What is he talking about? If this is all about happiness, then God is like this cosmic Coke machine that I put in my good works and I expect for him to give me what I want. And that's the kind of relationship that we begin to have, is this thing where God serves me. God brings me what I want or what I need. And so people try they try religion. They try to come to church. They try, hey, well, let's try out this God thing. I'm miserable with my life, and so I need happiness in my life. Let's go to church and let's give ourselves to God. Let's do this Christian thing to bring us happiness. It's a very consumeristic way of thinking that has creeped into the church. I need happiness, so I need God. And it sets us up for something that's just simply not the way God created the world. Here is the truth. Your happiness isn't God's priority. Crickets. Your happiness isn't God's priority. Now, let me be positive. God delights when you are happy. There's no question that God delights when you're happy. Just like when my kids are happy, I delight in that. If my kids were to, this year they just played football. They just got out of football, and they did so well. It was so exciting to see them excel in football. And a couple times they both were on kickoff return. So they get the kickoff, and one time they went and they returned it all the way past the 50, and we were cheering, we were so happy, we were so excited. They're jumping up and down, their team high-fiving them, and they're happy. And we're happy because they're happy. But what if, as he was going off the field, he starts shooting the bird at the opposing team? All of a sudden, his happiness is not my main priority. You understand what I'm saying? This is so important that happiness is not God's priority. It's not a parent's priority. We delight in it. We like it, but it's not the main thing. So here's really some more truth. God doesn't want us happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise or just ignorant. And God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. I'm going to tell a story about my son, and I'm going to owe him a lot of money because I've told him that if I ever tell a story about him, I'll give him a treat. Okay, so he and both my kids were out in the garage one day. They were having fun. We didn't hear from them for a long, long time. You know, when you're a parent and your kids are off and you don't hear from them in a long time and they're younger. What's going on? What are they doing? And so they're out, they're playing in the garage, and all of a sudden we hear a loud noise. And then all of a sudden the door flies open, they come running into the house. And we're like, what's going on? Their eyes are this big around, they're scared, they're freaking out. And they had been in the garage and they had taken a bullet and they had a hammer. And they were playing and having so much fun. They were happy in the garage playing with this bullet, hammering a little bullet. Well, the bullet didn't like that. And the bullet went off in the garage. And when that bang happened, thankfully there was not a human in the way. And it was a very small little tiny bullet like this. But it was a bullet. And it went off and it was a loud noise. And all of a sudden, something that caused happiness caused pain and suffering and trouble. And so all of a sudden this theology of happiness gets turned on its head or turned on its ear. When something is wrong or unwise, God doesn't want us participating in it. Let's get to the scripture. Y'all ready? Here's 1 Peter 1:15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Oh, happiness is not in that text. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Here's the truth. God doesn't want you to pursue happiness. He wants you to pursue Him. And he doesn't want you to pursue him for happiness. He wants you to pursue him for holiness. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Bible, for teaching us the truth. We need it. You ever heard somebody say, well, I deserve to be happy. I mean, I've had such a hard time. I deserve to be happy. And we have people talking to us, coworkers, friends, family members. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be happy. You should quit that job because you deserve to be happy. You should leave her because you deserve to be happy. And let me just say this, in the very best marriages of all time, there are going to be many, many times when you are not happy in that marriage. And so if we live by the theology of happiness, anytime we're not happy, we have to change gears. We have to quit. We have to change. We have to start or whatever. But when I stood at the altar with Erica and we took our vows of marriage, I said I would be faithful to her in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times, in riches or poverty, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her so long as we both shall live. And I just this week, we had a wedding at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. This beautiful couple in the second row right here. And it was the 120th wedding of Promised Land. Isn't that amazing? 120th wedding of Promised Land. When we took those vows, when they took those vows, I had them look each other in the eye and say, as long as you make me happy, I will be with you. No, I didn't say that. They didn't say that. They're like, wait a minute, was that in the... Honestly, when I'm participating in the ceremony, they usually never hear a word I say other than just, okay, repeat after me. That's not a part of it. The part of it that we say is forsaking all others, be faithful to death. That's heavy, that's big, that's strong, and it has nothing to do with that happiness. So if we live by this false theology of happiness, then I will allow myself to do something unwise. I'll allow myself to do something that's wrong. I will be entertained by something that's wrong because I want to be happy. I'll watch something that makes me laugh and makes me happy and it's funny and it's trash. Man, today was the wrong day to come to church. I'm stepping on every toe you've got. What you watch on the television, what you watch on Netflix, just because something is funny doesn't make it right. Just because something makes you emotionally happy doesn't make it edifying to your soul. The Bible does not say garbage in, garbage out. I'll admit that. But it does say you will reap what you sow on Netflix. You will reap what you sow in your marriage. You will reap what you sow at work. You will reap what you sow, how you sow your money, how you sow your time, how you sow your energy. You will reap that. So if it is causing me to do something that's wrong or unwise, I don't want to be relying on it for my happiness. Here's another thing. God doesn't want us happy when it's only based on things of this world. As we were doing our budgeting, my wife and I were doing our budget years ago, we noticed that there was this target. And we realized that Target was this place where we would go and we would begin to purchase things, or it would be like eat out. Why? Because it makes us happy. It makes us happy to buy something, We get a kickback from it. It feels good to have something new, to take it out of the box. Oh my goodness. There's nothing like taking a brand new computer out of its box, and it's so clean and crispy and shiny. Peel the plastic off of it and it just plug it in for the first time, or driving that car off the lot and it smells so amazing. This just feels so good. And we're wrapping our life around something that makes us happy. And so I remember having this conversation with Erica, like, we have to have a plan when we go into Target. Now it's not Target anymore, it's Amazon now. We go on Amazon, stop! Why? Because at the bottom it says, if you like that item, people that like that item also liked all these items. You should like all of these items. Just one click, and we're going to deliver it to you tomorrow if you will order in the next 30 seconds. And there's a clock ticking. 29 seconds. If I don't order now, I won't get it tomorrow. And it's funny, but it's true. All these things, better possessions, peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, the right relationships, the right appearance, all equal happiness. And the problem is that it is a counterfeit. It is a counterfeit to what God wants to offer you. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 2:15-17. Such a powerful truth. How often do we get intoxicated by what the world has to offer? And let me just tell you something. It is pleasing. The world is pleasing. It offers such an immediate experience that is undeniably happy, exhilarating, fun. And what Scripture says right here is it is temporal. You are living in a matrix. If you've ever seen that movie, The Matrix, you are living in a false sense of what you should be living in. There is the world that we live in that's contaminated by the devil. And if we're always longing for what the world has to offer, Scripture says you're not going to be receiving the eternal benefits from the original. There's an original satisfier, God, who wants to satisfy you in every single thing that you need and bring you peace and bring you rest and bring you comfort and bring you purpose and challenge you and give you a destiny and all the things that we want in life. God has created it one just for you, unique just for you. But what happens is if we're always chasing happy, we don't wait on what God has for us and be disciplined and understood and looking toward Him and longing for what He has. Instead, we're just like, oh, what's that? That's that. I got to buy this. I got to do this. I got to go out with them. I got to break up with them because I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. So this constant pace. And if we think God just wants me happy, then all I'm doing is chasing. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Let's think inside just for a second. What is in my life right now that I'm chasing after that is not of God? What have I compromised when God has a better plan for me? Where in my life am I taking a benefit that I need to let go and I need to go for the original? Sometimes as believers, we can have one foot in and one foot out. We're like, yeah, I go to church at the 8:30. I go to church at Lockhart. I work real hard. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then over here, when we get out of the environment of church and we're back in the real world over here, we kind of set the Christian thing off and then we put the real life world on. And it's like, yeah, but. Yeah, God, but. And God wants us to get our butts out of the way. Here's the truth. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed. He doesn't, his priority is not your happiness. He wants you blessed. There's a original word for that, makarios. Supremely blessed, meaning more than happy. More than happy. It is a long thing. It is a broad thing. It is a bigger thing. And when you are living in blessing, it doesn't mean that you will never get sick, you'll never lose your job, you'll never get a zit before prom or anything like that. All these things happen at the worst times. Things will always go your way. God's going to say yes to every prayer. Instead, he's going to give you blessing in the middle of the storm. I want you to think for a second. If this is a Max Lucado parable, but I'm going to amp it up a little bit from Max Lucado. So imagine if you took a little cute fish out of the water and you put it up on the beach. Would that fish be happy? But what if you put it in a nice lawn chair with a nice umbrella and you gave it a nice cocktail and $100,000 cash and a Playfish magazine? Would it be happy? Why? It's out of its world. It's out of its world. We should be that fish out of water. That's where we should be. Look what Max Lucado says. This is his actual quote. You weren't made for earth. Moments of happiness and joy cannot compare to what's ahead. Lower your expectations of earth, not heaven. No new car, new wife, new baby, new boat will give you the joy your heart craves. I want to go back to the original text that I read to you and read to you the whole text. Psalm 97:12 says, may all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Do we have that full version of that verse? May all who are godly be happy. How? Okay, this section got it. May all who are happy be happy in
the Lord.
Lockhart, did you get that? In
the Lord.
The Lord. Oh, man. That's not. Oh, let me tell you. Being happy in the Lord is the best happiness ever. There's nothing like being happy in the Lord. And then it says, praise his holy name. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There is nothing that he isn't capable of doing in your life. There's nothing that he isn't able to complete in your life and stir up in your life and fulfill any void that you have, any craving that you have. And you've been looking to this world to fulfill that craving. I'm telling you, the Lord is able to heal you, to help you, to fulfill you, to make you happy. In a way that's pure and holy and righteous. Let's pray. Let's go to him in prayer right now. Would you all just join with us? Bow your heads and close your eyes right now. Earlier I asked you, is there anything in your heart, anything in your mind, anything in your life right now that's not of him? I want to do an examination of my life right now. Am I participating in anything that's not of him? Am I getting a cheap thrill? Am I compromising for a counterfeit instead of going for the real thing? Let's just spend a moment and look through, just kind of go through the files of your life. Scan through your work life, your home life, your entertainment life. What's in my life that's not of you, Lord? Where am I reaching out for happiness, and I am compromising my walk with God? Lord, I don't want to live according to happiness. I want to live according to holiness. Let's just tell God that right now. Lord, we want to live according to your holiness, not our happiness. We don't want to get the cart before the horse. If we're just chasing the effect, then we're going to miss the cause. Lord, the cause is you. The cause is your relationship. Knowing you, being in connection and relationship with you is our first and foremost priority. It's what we should do before anything else. And God, we understand that when we pursue you, you don't abandon us there. You don't leave us there. You don't just take us up to neutral position. God, you do bless us. You do fulfill us and strengthen us. So God, we just surrender right now. Would you just tell that to the Lord in your own way? Just say, Lord, I give up to you right now. I surrender my life to you. If there's specific things in your life that come to mind, just go ahead and repent of those right now. Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've looked at certain people. I'm sorry for the things I've watched. I'm sorry for the things I've participated in. Lord, I'm sorry for the business deals I've gotten into. They're not of you. Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I treat other people, that I lash out, and it feels so good to just be emotional and not be surrendered to you. Lord, please forgive me. Let's have a surrendered heart today. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We surrender our heart before you today and trust in you, Jesus, that you're in total and complete control. And let's go ahead and ask, Lord, fulfill me. Would you fulfill me, God? Would you help me? Would you give me my daily bread? Lord, I need help. If there's a situation in your life, there's a void, just go ahead and talk to God like he's listening, because he is. Lord, I need your help today. Help me, God, with this situation. Help me with this heartache. Help me with my past. Help me with this relationship situation, with my marriage, God, with my boyfriend, with my girlfriend, with my fiance, God, with my job, with my schooling, my career plan, my path, my parents, my grandparents. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, just, I need help. I need help today. I'm looking to you. I'm longing for you to be the fulfillment that I need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to encourage you to fill out a